Beloved Zorba the Buddha, when Koko, a disciple of Joshu, went to see Master Hogan, he was asked where he had been recently. With Joshu, he answered. Hogan asked, I have heard about Joshu and the oak tree. Isn't this so? Koko said, It is not so. Hogan commented, But everyone says that when a monk asked about the meaning of Daruma's coming from the west, Joshu answered, The oak tree in the front garden. How can you say it was not so? Koko replied, My master said nothing of the kind. Please do not insult the late master. Hogan commented, Truly, you are a lion's cub. On another occasion, a man said to Koko, All my life I have killed cows and enjoyed it. Is this sin or not? It is not, said Koko. Why not? The man asked. One killed, one given back, was Koko's answer.
My friends, one wonders whether we are living in a sane society or everybody has gone bananas. Ronald Reagan has been trying to kill Colonel Gaddafi. All these years he has been in power. For no reason at all, Libya is a small, poor country. Few months before, President Ronald Reagan attacked Libya, destroyed two houses in which Gaddafi sometimes lives. Most of the times he lives in the desert in a tent. But he killed his daughter and destroyed his houses for no reason at all. Just now, this is the last week of his power, but he could not resist the temptation to attack Libya again. He has brought two war ships, great liners. They are standing just close to the shore of Libya with dozens of fighting war aeroplanes. Just waiting for a signal to attack. Libya simply wanted to see whether they are standing in Libya's territory or in the international ocean. His two jet planes had gone just to watch, and they were just inside Libya's territory, an American war planes immediately bombed the two jet planes of Libya. The excuse that Ronald Reagan is giving is that Libya is making a factory for biological warfare. He is showing the picture which has been taken from the sky. That means he has already violated Libya's territory. Otherwise, how he could get that picture? And the most strange and wonderful and unbelievable thing is that Libya is just making a factory . It has not yet been completed, the building. Nobody knows what is his purpose and nobody asks him. America decides that it is going to be a factory for biological warfare. Even if it is going to be a factory for warfare, for biological attack on other countries, America has the biggest factory in the whole world. He should first destroy the great factory that America has, rather than destroying poor countries. You will be surprised to know that President Ronald Reagan and his army chiefs have been denying the fact that they have been using biological spray on American cities just to test the potentiality in case there is a world war based on biological destructive virus. And they have been declining continuously for years that it has no bad effect, but the medical association has come forward that it is absolutely wrong. The president is lying, the army chiefs are lying. Because we are the persons who know how many people in these cities have died of cancer. They don't know that they have been killed by their own government. The rate of cancer in those cities has risen from the average 10 times more. Small children, pregnant women, old men, young men. And finally, because the medical association has come up, the president has not answered the medical association. Neither the army chiefs have answered. Their silence shows their crime against their own people. A military war survey from American experts shows that America is the most warlike country in the whole world. In 140 years, it has interfered around the world 150 times. bringing its military army attacking poor people, finding any excuse is enough. And he has committed many crimes for which he is waiting the new president will forgive him. And nobody around the world, even objects, even protests, there is absolute silence. But I have tremendous respect for Libya and its people. I protest alone as a world citizen against Ronald Reagan that before you start dropping bombs on others, you should look at yourself. I have been searching deeply in the American psyche. My understanding is that America and Australia both have been founded by criminals. These criminals were excommunicated from England. They landed, few of them in Australia and few of them in America. They became presidents, they became vice presidents. They killed people without rhyme and reason. Even today in Australia you can hunt human beings. Something in the very blood of Americans is criminal. And the world has to be aware of these criminals because they have the most power today. It erupts without any cause. Certainly there must be something inside the person. When he kills someone without any cause, just few months before it had become a tremendous problem in San Francisco and LA. 6 persons were shot dead for no reason. Just because the traffic was jammed for miles, cars were stopped. Nobody knew where is the cause, some accident, some truck has upturned, or what has happened, nobody knows. And people started shooting. The driver of the car ahead, he was honking as hard as he could because there were miles of cars ahead. He was absolutely innocent. Seeing this situation, all the car owners immediately started purchasing automatic machine guns to carry with them in their cars. Something is deep down in the psyche of the Americans, bloodthirsty. And these are the people who have the nuclear weapons. And it needs only to push a button and the whole world will be on fire. Every action should be taken by the intelligentsia of the world, by the artists, by the poets, by the painters, by the mystics, from all kind of creative people. Every protest is needed to save this beautiful planet from bloodthirsty, barbarous people. America knows only one argument, and that is destruction. We have to spread the idea that the only real power comes out of creation, not out of destruction. Destruction sows only your madness. Only creation sows your power. Few more mundane affairs. The Mahabodhi Society of the Buddhists goes on making statements . I have not said a single word against the Mahabodhi Society. Now it is enough time. I object the very name Mahabodhi. Mahabodhi means the great enlightenment. Neither in the past nor in the present, a single member of Mahabodhi Society is enlightened. They don't have any right to call their society Mahabodhi. All that can they do is they have to change their name to Mahabodhi Society of India. Abodhi means unenlightened. Otherwise, they have to sow at least a single member in the past or in the present who has become enlightened in their society. They are just a bunch of rotten scholars and they have the nerve to threaten me. In fact, I should take them to the court. They have to give evidence why they are calling their society Mahabodhi. It is a great world. It has nothing to do with scholarship. I have known many members of Mahabodhi Society. none of them is even aware what is enlightenment, and they call their society the Great Enlightenment Society. How many people they have made enlightened? People never look at themselves. They don't understand the implication of simple words. Although they are great scholars, they go on reciting the old sutras of Buddha. Most of them are out of date. I have spoken more on Buddha than anybody in the whole world. I have loved the man, hence I have been choosing only the sutras that can be supported with logic, rationality, and understanding. There are many sutras I have simply keeping out of my way. If Mahabodhi Society and the Buddhists of India go on making statements against me, I am going to bring all those sutras that I have kept by the side. I don't care a bit about anybody, Gautam Buddha included. Just because of my love of the man, because he was not part of any organized religion, and he was not inclined to create an organized religion, I had loved his individuality, his grace, but that does not mean that I agree with him 100%. Not more than 10% my agreement is with his ideas. 90% are absolute rubbish. Now these people are provoking me to bring all that rubbish and condemn it. Unless I do it, they will not be silent. Such is the blindness, utter stupidity. One chamar, a shoemaker, has got converted from Hindu Sudras, the untouchables, and has become a Buddhist. Today he has given a statement that before becoming a Buddha, I have to be initiated by him into Buddhism. That reminds me one statement of George Bernard Shaw. He has said the people who have lived in inferiority for centuries, if you liberate them, don't think they will be equal. They will immediately start being superior to you. there is some truth in George Bernard's statement. All these Buddhists who are making statements against me have been for 5,000 years untouchables, just a small group in Maharashtra. Has been converted to Buddhism not on any religious grounds, but a political game of Dr. Ambedkar. But he was purchased. That shows that even if a Sudra becomes one of the greatest law authorities, and particularly an authority on constitutionalism, can be purchased very easily. That is one of the indications of an inferior person. He was purchased by giving him the post to make the Indian constitution. He dropped and forgot all about Buddhism. And these 3 lakh people that he has converted have suffered unnecessary injury, because he himself made the constitution not knowing. That's why I say a man of unawareness can do things with all good intentions, but is bound to commit some deep mistake. He made the constitution and he made arrangement for the untouchables, special privileges in schools, in colleges, in universities, special quota for them because they cannot compete with others, special quota in every service of the government. But he forgot completely that that is applicable only if the Sudras remain in the Hindu fold. And he converted these 3 lakhs Sudras of Maharashtra into Buddhism. Now they don't have any privilege, no quota, no special scholarships. Now, Dr. Ambedkar had ditched them into a far more inferior, far more difficult life. At least the Hindu untouchable has some privileges, some compensations, some special quotas as a compensation for their operation for centuries, their suppression and exploitation. But these Buddhists, they have lost that, and the constitution was made by the same man who had turned these poor people into Buddhists. But George Bernardsa is right. These people have remained under slavery like cattle just because they have become Buddhist on political grounds. I repeat it, because Dr. Ambedkar first thought to convert these people, his followers, into Christianity. But a second thought that in Christianity they will be drowned and he will not be anymore the leader. He dropped the idea. He had nothing to do with Jesus or Christianity. His whole effort was to remain the leader. He thought about converting them to Mohammedanism. But the same situation. He will not be in the position to be a leader. Hence he found that there are no Buddhists in India. Convert these people to Buddhism. So he remains the leader. Now this was absolutely a political conversion. But these politically converted idiots who don't understand a single word of enlightenment are making statements against me. Ishida phoned from Japan that I should not take any notice of these people. It is the fate of the giants and the geniuses to be condemned by the little men. She must have been feeling wounded that Buddhists can behave in such a way. She has issued to the Japanese newspapers and magazines a statement that it is me who has professed if Indian Buddhists are angry, they should be angry at me. And she has informed that she will be coming soon here to encounter the press and to encounter the so-called Buddhists. A woman of tremendous courage. And my statements, they go on misinterpreting. I have never said that I am a reincarnation of Gautam Buddha. I am just a reincarnation of myself. I have crossed in my past lives many Gautam Buddhas, but I have never been anybody's disciple. I have searched myself alone and I declare again that I am just myself, my original face, and these Buddhists have no reason to be worried about. If they want to learn something about enlightenment, we will welcome them. But we don't initiate anybody into Buddhism. We invoke everybody to be a Buddha. Why Buddhism? Why this long, unnecessary route? When the Buddha is already present in you, all that is needed is to call him loudly, that come out, you have been hiding inside for too long, it has become habitual, come out in people's life, in their actions, in their love, in their friendship, transform them. This is authentic initiation. It does not come from without. It is a provocation and a challenge to your innermost consciousness. Manisa Sutra. Beloved Zorba the Buddha, when Koko, a disciple of Josu, went to see Master Hogen, he was asked where he had been recently with Josu. He answered, Josu was one of the most important Zen masters. Hogen asked, I have heard about Josu and the oak tree. Is not this so? Koko said, it is not so. In fact, there was an oak tree just before the cottage of Josu. And whenever anybody asks what is the meaning of Buddhism or what is the meaning of Bodhidharma coming from India to China, he pointed to the oak tree. Meaning that why don't you ask this oak tree, what is the meaning of your being here? What is the meaning of your spreading the branches and the foliage? If nobody asks the oak tree, that simply means nature has no meaning, it has only significance. Remember these two words. Meaning is logical, mental, it is only a concept. Significance is an experience. What is the meaning of love? If somebody asks you, you will shrug your shoulders. The meaning of love? It is a joy. It is a great experience. It has significance, but it has no meaning. A car has a meaning. An air conditioner has a meaning. Things have meanings, but living beings don't have any meaning. Meaning means some utility. Significance means some beauty, not utility. It is factually true that Josu used to indicate the oak tree in front of his cottage. This is the meaning of Buddhism. Now let the Mahabodhi Society of India fight a suitcase against Josu. He is calling the oak tree the meaning of Buddhism, the meaning of Bodhidharma coming from India to China. And he is right. Existence has no meaning. It has significance. It has fragrances. It has colors. It has beauty. It has a splendor. But meaning? Meaning is concerned with the commodities. And life is not a commodity. And enlightenment is not a commodity that you can purchase in the marketplace. That which cannot be purchased will not have any meaning, but it will have only significance. But Coco denied it on purpose, because people used to make a laughing stock behind the back of Joseph, that what kind of master he is. We are asking about the great meaning of Buddha's teaching, and he indicates towards the oak tree. He is nuts. To the rational mind, it will appear so. Coco was Josu's very intimate disciple. Hossein asking, "I have heard about Josu and the oak tree. It has become a joke in the Zen circles. Is not this so?" Coco said, "It is not so. I had told you about the difference between fact and truth. Coco is saying that factually it may be so, but not in truth. In truth, he did not indicate the oak tree. He indicated the life juices in the oak tree, which are the same in us. We are all rooted in the same existence. We are getting the nourishment from the same existence. The oak tree is just a brother, a friend, maybe mute and dumb, but that does not make any difference that our life sources are coming from the same existence." Coco said, "It is not so." Hossein commented, "But everyone says that when a monk asked about the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West, Josu answered the oak tree in the front garden. How can you say it was not so?" Coco replied, "My master said nothing of the kind. Please do not insult the late master. He was dead now. And nobody has the guts when he was alive to approach him and argue about the oak tree. Now that he is dead, please don't insult him. You don't understand the meaning of his indicating the oak tree. He was not indicating the oak tree, he was simply indicating the hidden sources of life juices rising in the oak tree against gravitation. The oak tree is a very strong, very tall, one of the most beautiful trees. Against gravitation, the juices go upwards. No tree needs a pumping mechanism. You cannot bring the water from the well without a pump. But the tree is doing exactly that miracle. Every tree is moving juices against gravitation's pull. There are trees 300 feet long, tall, and they take away 300 feet juices, waters, their nourishment to the last leaf 300 feet away from the earth. It also gets the same nourishment. It is a miracle. He was indicating to the miracle that when you also start growing upwards against the gravitation of the earth, when your consciousness starts flying in the sky, when your consciousness becomes an Everest, a high peak of a mountain, you will understand the significance of Bodhidharma's coming to China or Buddha's meaning. Hossein commented, "Truly, you are a lion's cub with deep respect." He understood Coco's standpoint that now that Joshua is dead, nobody should raise the question which was never raised when he was alive. Hossein was a famous master, but Coco did not care about it. Hossein respectfully commented, "Truly, you are a lion's cub. You are certainly a great disciple of Joseph." On another occasion, a man said to Coco, "All my life I have killed cows and enjoyed it. Is this sin or not?" "It is not," said Coco, "against the whole tradition of Buddhism." A master has to respond in the present moment according to his spontaneity. He does not repeat old scriptures. He does not quote old masters. He has every right to respond spontaneously. And his spontaneous response was very strange, against the whole tradition. He said, "It is not. According to great masters, there is no sin and there is no virtue. There is only one thing, that is awareness. If you are aware, you can do anything that you want and it is not sin. If you are not aware, you may do so-called virtuous acts. There is no virtue in them. Out of unconsciousness, virtue cannot blossom. It blossoms only when you are full of light, full of love, full of consciousness. Coco said, it is not. Why not? Even the person was feeling guilty, because the whole tradition says killing cows is a sin. It was really a part of Hinduism. Buddha was born a Hindu, was conditioned as a Hindu. So even though he became enlightened, some fragments of old conditioning of childhood remained hanging around him, particularly the idea that to kill a cow is a sin. The man was feeling guilty himself because Buddha has denied, he has propagated non-violence. And what kind of master this Coco is? He says, it is not. Why not? The man asked. One killed, one given back, was Coco's answer. He said, you cannot really kill anybody. You can only separate the consciousness from the body. So what is the problem? The consciousness, if still wants to have a body, will enter another womb. You have supported, perhaps, to drop the old body and to get a fresh one. There is no sin in it. In fact, there is no sin anywhere. I have to remind you that the original meaning, the root meaning of the word sin is forgetfulness, unconsciousness. It has nothing to do with your actions. It has to do something with your inner remembrance, who you are, you have forgotten completely. This is the only sin, to remain unconscious, and the only virtue, to become a Buddha. A haiku, a dragonfly on the rock, midday dreams. I have told you again and again that haikus are not poetries in the ordinary sense. They are poetic. They are more visual than verbal. Just visualize a dragonfly on the rock having midday dreams. That is the situation of every unconscious human being. Not only the dragonfly, you are also living in dreams. As long as a pillar of consciousness arises in you, you will live in dreams, in nightmares. And your life will be a wastage. It will not come to fulfillment, to contentment, to a deep realization of organic unity with the cosmos. That is the only splendor to experience. Nothing is higher than that. Manisha has asked a question. Beloved Zorba the Buddha, you referred to the Mahabodhi Sabha of Buddhists as bigoted and prejudiced. They have also in essence dictated the Gautama and to you how you both should behave. Are bigotry, prejudice and dictatorial attitudes all part of the same syndrome? Yes, Manisha. It is very unfortunate, but it has been the whole history of man that the crowd, the mob, the ignorant has been dictating the behavior even of those who have come to become enlightened. It reminds me of the times of Gautam Buddha. The masses were demanding that when Mahavira is standing naked under the sun, that is true renunciation. Why you are carrying 3 pieces of clothes? Just these 3 pieces of clothes destroy your claim that you are the awakened one. The masses were asking Gautam Buddha that Mahavira knows past, future and present. Do you know? If you don't, then you cannot claim to be the same status as Mahavira. Nobody ever inquires what Mahavira knows about the future. Perhaps he knows something about the past. He cannot know everything about the past. The past is 4 million years. Perhaps he knows something about his past lives. That is conceivable. But he cannot know anything about the future. Do you think Mahavira knew that we will be meeting this evening in Gautam the Buddha auditorium? Then he must have gone mad. Too much to remember. The whole past, the whole future, the whole present. N Neither Mahavira knew anything about the future, nor Buddha knew anything about the future. But to concede, because the problem is the masses are asking you, otherwise they will not give you the respect. He conceded that yes, when I want to look into the future, I can look. Whenever I want to look at the past, I can. But I cannot say that I know without looking in the past, in the future. The masses thought, obviously, he has not attained that great height which Mahavira has attained. And it is not that they asked only Gautam Buddha, they have been asking everybody. And even your so-called great geniuses have been considering the ignorant masses, otherwise they lose all respectability. Perhaps I am the first man in the history of mankind who does not care a bit about respectability. What respectability from ignorant people? I don't have any considerations for anyone. I just depend on my spontaneity and my consciousness. Other than that, I don't care about anybody. In the commune in America, my friend from all over the world has given me 93 Rolls Royces. The whole America was jealous. Perhaps for the first time they have come across a man who owns nothing and yet makes jealous of the richest people of the world. Even Rockefeller was against, wanted me to be somehow destroyed. Because the richest could not afford 93 Rolls Royces. And I was allowing my friends, if they wanted to bring a Rolls Royce, I had no use. I had never gone to see in the garage, even the Rolls-Royce company's president has come to see the garage because I was their historical customer. Never before nor after anybody is going to have 93 Rolls-Royces. And 7 more were on the way before they arrested me. I created so much jealousy, they could not understand. They could not see, they were absolutely blind. They could not see that any man cannot use even 2 Rolls Royces together. Ah. So there must be something else behind this whole scene. There was. I was attacking the very egoist idea of America that they are the richest people in the world. And I proved it. And I still challenge them that if anybody has the guts, just produce 93 Rolls Royces. One bishop was continuously, every Sunday, was talking against my Rolls Royces. Such is the blindness. Perhaps he was dreaming only about Rolls Royces. 7 days per week he was thinking. Otherwise, this became his only sermon. He forgot all about Jesus and Bible. And you will be surprised, before I was arrested, the rumor was there for 2 months continuously that any day I will be arrested. But even all government agencies refused to arrest me for the simple reason that you don't have any evidence against that man. If he has 93 Rolls Royces, you are free to have more. It is an independent country. CBI refused. The National Guard refused. The chief of the National Guard simply laughed. He said, "You are just being stupid. Your real reason is jealousy, because the commune is living in such beauty and comfort and love and joy. You want to destroy the commune, but I don't see any reason to order his arrest." They approached the army to arrest a single human being who has not even a paper knife. And the chief of the army said, "You are asking absolutely a nonsense question. Never in the history of man, army has been ordered to arrest a single human being who has no weapons." This bishop, seeing that soon I will be arrested and the government and the fundamentalist Christians are determined to destroy the commune, wrote me a letter that now that you will be going, it is almost certain. Can you give one Rolls Royce to my church in charity? And this same man for years have been condemning. I informed him, "I can give you all the Rolls Royces, Do you have a space in your church? He wrote back that, no, I don't want 93 because that will destroy me. Just one. I said, I am not that miser. Either 93 or none. He became silent. That shows the psychology of men. What he says may not be in his mind. His intention may be totally different. What he acts is not necessarily what he wants to do. The unconscious mind looks all around and follows the crowd. I love George Gurdjieff. Only one man in this whole century, because he said, don't consider others. That was his fundamental. Naturally, he could not get many followers. Not more than 20 lived with him, and perhaps 200 who used to come and go. Why he said, don't consider others? Because if you consider others, you are considering unconsciousnesses. And if you negotiate with them, you are falling down from your own consciousness. Or perhaps you are also an unconscious being, desiring to be respected by the idiots. I don't consider anybody. It is enough for me to look into myself, is spontaneity to me is the only virtue. Awareness, the only religion. And only weaklings, cowards, consider others. Manisha, it is the same syndrome. Bigotry, prejudice, and a dictatorial attitude. But nobody can dictate to me anything. If this mad society wants to kill me, they can kill me, but they cannot dictate me. It is time for Sardar Gurdayal Singh. When a husband comes home unexpectedly, a French wife says, Pierre, move over. My husband is home. A German wife says, Fritz, you are 2 minutes early. An English wife says, hello, darling, May I introduce Gilbert? A Greek wife says, "Hi, Sapiro. The back door is still open." An Italian wife says, "Mamma mia, Luigi, if you are going to suit us all, suit yourself first." And a Jewish wife says, "Haimi, is that you? Then who is this man with me?" Kowalski decides to take his family on vacation to Miami Beach. He piles everybody into his old Ford and heads on down the Florida highway. 3 days later, he is back. "What happened?" asks Jablonski, the next door neighbor. "Did you not like Miami Beach?" "I never got the chance to find out," explains Kowalski. "I was driving down the highway when I came to a big sign that said, 'Miami Beach left.'" "So I turned around and came back home." What is the difference between a misfortune and a disaster? A great difference. For example, a goat is walking across a bridge, loses its footing and falls into the river. That is a misfortune, not a disaster. But if an airplane carrying Ronald Reagan and his entire cabinet crashes and everybody is killed, that is a disaster, but not a misfortune. Nivedana. Close your eyes. Feel your body to be completely frozen. This is the right moment to look inwards. With your total consciousness and with an urgency, as if this is going to be your last moment. The urgency makes the job absolutely easy. Your consciousness rushes like a spear into the center of your being, and there is tremendous silence, a great peace, and an experience of your own Buddhahood. The only quality of the Buddha is just to be a witness. Watch everything. Your body is not you. Your mind is not you. You are only your witness. This witness is eternal. It has been always here, and it will remain always here, whether in some body or spread all over the universe. That's what happens to the enlightened man. When he dies, he is not born again. He simply disappears into the vast cosmos, becomes one with it. To make the witnessing more clear, Nivedano, relax, but remember only one thing: witnessing. This single word, witnessing, is the master key to all the mysteries and miracles of life. The evening was immensely beautiful in itself, but the presence of 10,000 Buddhas has made it a splendor, a majesty, a beauty not known ordinarily on this planet. I can see the Buddha auditorium has turned into a lake of consciousness without any ripples. You are the most fortunate ones at this moment on the earth. Gather as much silence, as much flowers that are showering on you, of silence, of love, of joy. Gather all the songs that are arising in you, all the dances, and persuade the Buddha to come along with you. It has been long time. He has been hiding at the center of your being. Bring him to the circumference of your life. That is the only real test. When your actions become graceful, when your eyes radiate love, silence, infinity, when your silence is a song, then you are just sitting, still one can feel a dance within you of immense beauty and splendor. Persuade the Buddha. It is your own being. Slowly, slowly. Every day, the difference between the circumference and the center is becoming less and less and less. The moment the difference disappears, you are enlightened. You don't have any need to be initiated. You don't have any need for any recognition from any authority. You are the authority. You are the Buddha. Just take your life in your own hands. That is the only dignity of individuality. Nivedano, come back, but not the way you have gone in, but as a new man, as a Buddha, with peace, silence and grace, with beauty. Just sit in silence for a few moments, to remember, to recollect the golden path you have traveled just now, and remember all that you experience at the center of your being. You have to bring it to the circumference. You have to remember day and night without any tension, in a relaxed and playful way, that every act of yours sows compassion and love, that every word of yours sows grace and beauty, that your whole life is slowly becomes a song, a poetry, a haiku, Manisa?
Yes, over the Buddha.